Today's daf from the Sechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Tet, and we were holding right in the middle of the sugya of the status of Chadash, Orla, and Kilayim in Chutz Laretz, and what we were learning was the Mishnah in Masechet Orla that says that Chadash is a Diraisa because of Bechol Moshvotechem, and that Orla is halacha, and that kilayim is a derabbanan. We had a machlokas whether, according to Ula, halacha means halacha lavesh b'sinai, or according to Rabbi Yoram Shmuel, that halacha meant only halacha of the Medina, that it was a community acceptance of the chumrah on themselves. So, if you learn like Shmuel, Rabbi Yoram was learning like Shmuel, that it's not a halacha lavesh b'sinai, then we had to change the girsa in the Mishnah in Masechet Orla, and in both cases, we would be very makel on a Suffolk Orla and on a Suffolk Kilayim in Chutz Laretz. Exactly how far to be makel, whether to be makel that you could actually have the guy pick it for you, or that as long as you don't see that he's picking it, or whether it means you can only go to a vegetable stand, which is outside of a vineyard of Kilayim or outside of a orchard, where there is Orla, okay, that Shmuel didn't make up his mind. He said, it's one way or the other, but however you're going to be Makel, you have to be Makel the same in both dinim. So today we continue with Mar Berei Derabana, because Shmuel didn't say whether we should go all the way and be Makel even to say Yored Velocate. Mar Berei Derabana said, yes, I have the Girsa in the Mishnah. The way I learned it was that in both cases of Orla and Kilayim, we go all the way Lakula. Zeh v'zeh, yored v'lokate. As long as you don't pick it with your own hands, you can even tell the guy, the owner, go and pick me some veggies. And you have to assume that he's picking the veggies from his vineyard, which would be an Isser of Kilo Yakera. Now, there was a Maisa where Levi said to Shmuel, Arioch, Sapek li va'ana echal. Now, he used to call Shmuel Arioch. Remember that Arioch was the king of Elazar, right? This is very Tolkien-esque. So why did he always call Elazar? He called Shmuel the king of Elazar. This is very beautiful because Shmuel, the halacha is always like Shmuel, except when it comes to Isser. It's only like Shmuel in all of the dinim of Mammon. So therefore, Shmuel was the king of Elazar, not in Israel. So he therefore had the name Arioch. So Levi used to call him Arioch. Arioch, I want to tell you how far I'm ready to go to be Mako. I mean, we live in Bovo. That's Chutz Laretz. I tell you, don't tell me what it is. Just sapekli. You make it a suffix for me. You can know, but don't tell me. Okay. So you can know that it's definitely Orla. But don't tell me. So for me, it'll be a suffix. Sapek li, and I'm eating it. I'm perfectly happy to eat it. Because the idea over there would mean that you can even pick it. So it's very, very mako. So, but when I get it from you, I won't know that it's Orla. And therefore, that's the same as saying you're allowed to go down and tell him to pick it. So you picked it. What do I know? Rav Avia and Rabba Bar of Hanan, they used to give each other what they knew to be Orla, but which they presented to the other person as, I don't know, Omar Harifi de Pumpadisa, Ein Orla b'chutz laretz. Now, Lamaisa, there were those, this is Eifa and Avimi b'nei Rechov de Pumpadisa, but the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that they said that there is no Isser Orla, no Halacha Lameshimi Sinai, no Dirabbonan, no halacha of the Medina, there is simply no Isser of Orla. Shlocha Rav Yudah came to Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yudah sent the issue as a shaila to Rav Yochanan. Is there Orla in Chutz Laretz or not? I mean, because we have this psak over here in Pumpadisa that there is no Orla at all. He was very upset, Rav Yochanan. And he said, first of all, I see that the people in there in Bovel are getting to be very lax in the dinim of Arla. So I don't want you to publicize the halacha that Suffolk Arla is mut. Stone sveka. Keep it quiet. meaning don't darshan it barabim. The Talmid HaChachamim who know will know. If you have definite orla, burn it. Throw it out. Abed vada'a. Let people see that you will not utilize a suffix, a vada'i orla. And achreza perotehem shetunim geniza. And those people who are following these dinim of Eifa and Avimi, make an announcement in public. Those fruit need to be put away and never used. The chola omer ein orla b'chutz la'aretz, whoever has the chutzpah to claim that there is no such lin, lo yelo nin v'neched mashlichevo b'goral b'kal Hashem. Let such a person have no descendants that has any chelek. Even a chevel means he puts a little rope out to have a little bit of a piece for himself of his chelek in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't have a chelek in the kal of Hashem. Whew. Wow. It's pretty serious. So how did Eifa and Avimi, where did they get the idea? Inu kaman svevrua. I mean, they wouldn't have made up such a thing on themselves. They were going according to this brisa. Kihodatanya. Rebbe, this is pretty good basis. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Yossi Omer, Mishum Rebbe Yossi Bendur Maska, She Omer Mishum Rebbe Yossi Aglili, She Omer Mishum Rebbe Yochanan Ben Nuri, She Omer Mishum Rebbe Yezra Godal, Ein Orla Bechutzlaretz. Oh my gosh. So this is Rebbe Lazar Ben Hurkanis. This was the sheet of Rebbe Yezra. There is no Isra of Orla. What? Rebbe Yezra. Rebbe Eliezer doesn't hold that. We just had the Mishnah. Vanantanan, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Af HaChadash. What did the Tanakhama say? The Tanakhama said that Orla and Kilayim, he said Beferish, are Noeg and Chutzlaretz, and Rebbe Eliezer, and that Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol is Rebbe Eliezer Ben Hurkanis, and Stam Rebbe Eliezer is Rebbe Eliezer Ben Hurkanis. So in our Mishnah, we just had the din. In our Mishnah, we just had the din. That means that there is, according to Rebbe Eliezer, even Chadash, but for sure, Orla and Kilayim. He agrees, right? So how can you say that? How is he quoting something that is different than our Mishnah in Rebbe Eliezer's name? You have that wrong. Take out the word even. It should say in the Mishnah, according to this Braita, Chodesh, not even Chodesh, which means that Rebbe Eliezer and our Mishnah would hold the exact opposite of the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama was saying Orla and Kilayim and not Chodesh, and Rebbe Eliezer was saying only Chodesh and not Orla and Kilayim. Wow. Okay, so it took us until here to realize that there's a totally different approach to the Mishnah. Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan, Orla b'chutzlaretz is halacha l'maishem Sinai, exactly like Ula had said before, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan was so angry about this. Omer le Reb Zer le Reb Asi. Sof, I don't understand. Didn't we just have a brisa that says, Sofik orla b'oretz asur b'suriya mutter? If you hold that orla is halacha l'maishem Sinai, so then you have to be machmer on it as if it's a sofik d'oraisa. Where do you come to be so makel on it? I don't understand. Whoa. Rav Asi was to, oh my gosh. Eshtomim kishor achada. That eshtomim kishor achada comes from the response that Daniel had to be absolutely, I mean, he was so unbelievably shocked by the dream and all of the terrible things that were implied in that dream. And it says that he was shocked for a minute and he couldn't respond. So we use that expression wherever somebody is like slapped across the face with a question that's like so obvious and dashing. It says like, oh my gosh, right. If we hold this halakha l'maishem Sinai, the whole thing doesn't make sense. How do we learn the Mishnah? After he thought about it, he said, oh, whew, I remember now. Ema, Kach nema, sveika mutter vado'a osir. This was actually the halacha l'moshe misinai. V'chatchila, this is how the Rishonim explained the Gemara. That the din is that orla is noig b'chutz la'aretz, bivado'ut. But in Suffolk, it's not noig at all. Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan, you would actually get Malkus for Kilayim outside of Eretz Yisrael as an Isser D'Oraisa, if it's Kiloy HaKeren. What? Om Rav Elazar, that's very interesting, because the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah said, Beferish Kilayim is Midivrei Seifrim. Ah, that's what you didn't understand. There's two different types of Kilayim, aren't there? There's Kiloy Zeroyim, and there is Kiloy HaKeren. So now, we're talking about two different things. In the Mishnah, what it's referring to is Kiloy HaKeren. But in, now usually Kiloy HaKeren is much more chomer, right? But in the din of Kiloy HaKeren in Chutz La'aretz, that is indeed only a dirabona. But the din of Kiloy Zroyim includes one fascinating halacha, and that is grafting trees. Now, grafting trees are very different, a very different act than planting mixed seeds. And actually, the amazing thing is that what we're looking at this as is the equivalent of mating different species. Because grafting is similar to mating. You're taking two separate organisms, sticking one into the other. That's not the same thing as having seeds fall together on the ground, right? So it's similar in even in how it's done. It's similar to mating. If mating is actually usher for a person to mate different species, as we'll see, and that was usher in Chutz La'aretz, then grafting would be usher as well, also in Chutz La'aretz. And let's see what the market, this is an amazing halacha we never would have thought of. Let's see where we get that from. Kiddush Shmuel. Diyomar Shmuel. It says in the Torah, et chukotai tishmoru. Now, it doesn't say, as it usually does, the idea of ushmartem et chukotai, right? It says, et chukotai tishmoru. What does that mean? It means, I'm not telling you now a chok. I'm telling you, you better keep the old chukim that I had given you a long time ago, chukotai that already exist, tishmoru. And therefore, behemtecha lo tarbiya kilayim, sadecha lo tizra kilayim, don't mate your animals with other species, and don't do the same thing in planting your field. Now that means that we're talking about a similar act of mating, not an act of just mixing seeds, and therefore the two are being compared. Ma behemtecha baharba'ah, the only way that you mix your animals is you have to stick one animal into the other and mix their genes. Therefore, the soda that we're talking about is the same thing. You have to be taking a species of tree and mate it with another species of tree. So you stick one into the other, and that will mix their genes. But not just throwing seeds together. And furthermore, just like behemtecha is noeg bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz, av sadecha is noeg bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. So let's see the different implications of this. What Shmuel is saying is that the actual iser of these chukim are ancient chukim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin uses this pasuk to prove that B'nai Noach were given the iser of mating kilayim. And therefore, this din is an ancient din, and it applied before Knisa La'aretz. It applied to all humanity. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, don't think just because now we have the Torah, you can ignore these ancient chukim. Et chukotai, the ones that we had before, I'm telling you now you have to be shomer. But it means to be shomer in the same way that they were originally kept. So this adds a completely new pirish to Sotcha lo tizra kilayim. The element of Sotcha lo tizra kilayim that is chal both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz is not just sowing seeds together, but it's actually mating one species with another by physical insertion. That's the point. And if that's the place, then it's a new din. And that's what it's referring to in the Mishnah. That's the incredible Chiddush that we have over here, to say that there's a din of Malkus D'Oraisa on Kelayim in Chutz Laretz, meaning Kelayim of mating, Kelayim of mating trees. So it's a type of Kelayim of Zerayim, which is Harkova. Incredible. Whole new world. But wait, says the Gemara, but it says Sadecha. How can you call Chutz La'aretz Sadecha? Nothing is yours in Chutz La'aretz. It's just coincidentally you bought it. When the Torah refers to something that's yours, it had to have been given to you. It's there waiting for you. That's only Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't that mean that Kelayim is only Chal in Eretz Yisrael? True. But Ahulamute Zroyim Shebechutz La'aretz. That means there's no normal Kelay Zroyim of mixing seeds. That does not apply. You're right. That's only Sadecha in Eretz Yisrael. Now, there was once a Maisa when Rav Hanan and Rav Anan, they were sitting and talking and walking along, and all of a sudden they passed by a guy, and this is in Bavel, they passed by a guy who is planting different species of seeds together. So Rav Hanan says to Rav Hanan, should put him into Mnidoi right away. He's being over the Yisr Darabanan of planting Kelayim. Aye, said Rav Hanan to him. Boy, oh boy. Lo chavrito, you sure are not very clear in your mind about the dinim of Kelayim. Because the truth is, he was allowed to do that. As we just learned, that Sadecha, there's no Yisr at all in Chutz La'aretz of mixing seeds. Well, only thing that would be usher is Kaloi HaKerem, that would be Midrabanan, and actual Harkavat HaYilan, which is not what was going on over here. So then they passed by another guy, and this guy was planting in his grapevines, he's planting Chitim and Tzorim in his grapevines. Oh my gosh. That for sure is an Isser Drabanan. You said only Kaloi Zroim is okay, but this is Kaloi HaKerem. So, time for another Nidoi. says Rav Hanan to him. Well, you weren't clear, and you're still not lo tzaharitu. You're certainly not shined very much in these. You're not shining with much intelligence here. We would say you're not too brilliant about these halachas. Because, listen, don't you know? Lo kaimelan k'Reb Yoshia. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin like K'Reb Yoshia. Reb Yoshia says that the din of Kaloi HaKerem is not to plant other things in a vineyard. It's to plant the vineyard with other things at the same time that you're planting the vineyard. So this guy didn't do anything wrong either. He holds, Ad shi yizra chita useora v'chatzan b'mapolet yad. You'd have to do it all at the same time. That's the meaning of lo tizra karmecha kilayim. When you plant the kerem, it cannot be kilayim. Fine. Okay. Exactly how far Rabbi Yoshua was matir, that's not so borrowed. So this Gemara becomes part of a whole discussion among the Rishonim and the Achronim, whether there's not even Isser Drabonon on Kilei HaKerem that is done that way in Chutzlah, it's fine. In any event, Rabbi Yosef, he himself mixed two different types of seeds, and he planted them in his field in Chutz La'aretz. Omalei Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, how could you do that? Vanantana kilayim edivrei sofrim. Didn't we learn that kilayim are usher in Chutz La'aretz edivrei sofrim? How could you be over on Yisr D'Rabbanan like this? Omalei, please. That's not a problem. That was referring to kilayi HaKerem. But as we said before, kilayi Zroyim is not applied at all because it says Sadechalot Yisra, and Kiloi Zroyim is only in Eretz Yisrael. Kiloi HaKerem, we're over there in Eretz Yisrael. It's an Isra Hanno, so it's very Chomer. So in Chutz La'aretz, the Rabbanan goes there. Kiloi Zroyim, which is not in Isra Hanno, even in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbanan did not see that it would need it to be so Machmir to make a Gezerah in Chutz La'aretz. But then, Rav Yosef said, after some time, that, oh my God, I made a mistake. Hodarom Rav Yosef, what am I talking about? Lav milsi idamri, that's totally wrong. Because I forgot that when Rav, he had this beautiful vegetable garden planted for the yeshiva. Now this was very, this is the way to give food in the yeshiva, let me tell you. You know, you get all the guys to go out there and to make a nice garden, and not that you have to have people bringing in trucks. And it was great. So he had this beautiful garden planted. So anything that the boys needed to eat in the yeshiva came straight from the garden. That's healthy, natural, ecological, and a good chinuch, right? So, okay, so this is what Rav did. Now, when he did that, and this was in Chutz Loretz, he planted every species in a separate area. So it was mishari, mishari. There were different furrows for each species. Well, why did he do that? Obviously, because he felt that you cannot mix species, even here in Bavel. So what was I thinking? Rav didn't hold like me. No. You don't have to change your mind. That's not why he planted it that way. You see, if the story was that Rav wanted to teach us that there was a din of Kelayim, then it would have said that he planted it according to the plan in the Mishnah. Remember, we learned this together, that you have to have four different types of species around the square, and you can have a different fifth species in the middle. Then I would have understood that he's being very makbid on the dinim of aruga, correct? Shapir. But here, it doesn't say that. It just says that each thing was in a different row. That's not what you do to avoid kilayim. So why did he do that? Because Rav wanted a beautiful garden. That's why. You know, you just want a garden. Teach the boys to throw the seeds together and just, a mess. No. It's got to be a beautiful, organized garden. Now, if you don't believe me that Rav had those type of aesthetic sensibilities, I could tell you another reason. He planted it that way because when he ordered a particular veggie, he wanted to be able to get it easily. So he would say, okay, go to row 6 and bring me some zucchini. And go to row 3 and bring some carrots. But if he would send the staff to just bring carrots and zucchini, they'd spend half the day looking for where the carrots are and the zucchini in the middle of the garden. But anyway, there's plenty of good reasons to plant a garden like a mensch, don't you think, without coming to the conclusion that this was because of Kilayim? On the contrary, it's clearly not. So it's either because he wanted it to look nice, oh, Mishum Tircha de Shama. He wanted to make sure that the kitchen staff would not be having a rough time. It looks like Doc's going to have to go into overdrive because Richie's not here. So if he gets there quick, he can give us a Zukta Hele Commissioner.
Zukta Hele Commissioner.
Kol ha'oseh mitzvah achat, metivin lo, umarichin lo yamav, v'nochel et ha'aretz. V'chol she'eino oseh mitzvah achat, very, very obscure statement here. So let's remember that we have arrived at a point in which we've gone through the particular types of kinyanim. Sorry. Noted how all of those kinyanim have to do with relationships. So they are all gedorim of ba'alut on some level, then we've seen how those relationships impact the position of a person in terms of the mitzvahs that he's chayav. So we talked about the ben, hala'av, the av ha'la'ben, the relationship to mitzvahs aseh shehazman gorma, because of the rishus achirim aleha that was nogia kibud av ha'em, the mekeres, and the models for all of these examples. And in the end, the fascinating thing that boiled down to was that there was a fundamental relationship between the actual physical acts of kinyanim that have to do with balut and the physical acts of kinyanim that have to do with taking possession of the earth, and particularly of Eretz Yisrael, because this was the original kinyan of Eretz Yisrael that becomes the mokar to kinyanei ishus. From there, we went on to recognize that the issue of how mitzvahs are therefore related to Eretz Yisrael, not only to Eretz Yisrael, but to your kinyan in Eretz Yisrael, so we were talking about yesterday, whether it's Bizman Shi Yisrael Aleha, or not Bizman Shi Yisrael Aleha in terms of the mitzvahs of, particularly for sure, we had Machlokas in about some, but particularly when it comes to Shemitah, and to Yovel, and even to related mitzvahs like Shemitah's Kzafim. So even the actual presence of that relationship, and not just its theory, was also nogea when a mitzvah goes into effect and where there's a chiyuv in the mitzvah. We now want to talk about the more profound element of the actual theoretical interrelationships, one could call them. They don't have to do it necessarily with the physical connection that you have to the kinyan of Eretz Yisrael, but there's always that real kinyan, and that is Ba'artzot HaChayim. There is a real world for us, and that is called the Oretz that we're referring to here, which is an extension of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and of course, the Mekoras of the Neshamas of Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, but ultimately, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek V'Olam Haba. That is the question, will he be Neichel? Same way that we have a din, that you can have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, but you have to be Nochel at Zaretz. Acharei Yerusha V'Yeshiva, we had a machlokas about whether that is necessary to wait those 14 years. And we always have those 14 years, which we hope are longer than that, in order to prepare for the Nachala of our real Aretz, which is our Hatzot HaChayim. And so we're given a brief time to prepare for the Yerusha of that Aretz. The way to be Yorish that Aretz is also, that is the relationship that we have to mitzvahs, which brings us full circle. Because we started off with the nature of Balus defining the nature of mitzvahs, and now we're talking about the nature of mitzvahs defining the nature of a relationship to the earth itself, the ultimate earth. And that's this week's parasha. Azino is a reference, as the Ramban says, to the Shamayim Va'aretz, not to the Shamayim Va'aretz that we're used to, but to the ultimate Shamayim Va'aretz, as the Ramban puts it, Shamayim Va'aretz HaRishoniyim. So this was the primal Shamayim Va'aretz. We're going back now to the nature of mitzvah, qua mitzvah, to inheritance of life as actual, the ultimate Eilam. So here it seems to be saying, and of course this is the way that the Rambam actually speaks, Halacha L'maisa, when he paskins in Hilchos Teshuva, and when it's particularly when he talks about it, we've spoken many times about the Rambam at the end of Masechet Makot, in which he says that the Rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mezaka, says Yisrael, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Mezaka us in that Aretz, in Eretz HaChayim, Nochel Et Aretz, and therefore gives us so many opportunities so that we can do mitzvah achas. According to the Rambam, this is a very powerful Mishnah, because it doesn't mean you do any mitzvah. It does you do any mitzvah as a complete and total mitzvah without all of the agendas and religious nonsense that you associate with it, and you do the mitzvah not in order to be zechut to your red strings and to the blessings of the great rabbis and the lighting a candle for you if you give enough money to the tzedakah that they're backing and so on, but you do this act, this mitzvah, totally in terms of the tziyuvei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and your love of what that means, then you're neichel es ha'aretz for that one mitzvah. Therefore, it says the Rambam that that's the ultimate meaning of this. Sometime in your life, you may experience enough freedom and enough realness that you rid yourself of all of the nonsense and you actually do a mitzvah with your heart and soul that is just because of the mitzvah. At that moment, you are nochel es ha'aretz. So even though you have a chelek, but how do you get the nachala of that chelek? That is through doing that one mitzvah. But if you never did a single mitzvah, then you can't have that nachala. Even though you have a chelek in Olam Haba, how will you be nochelek? Asks the Gemara, how do you explain this Mishnah with the Mishnah, in light of the Mishnah in Peah, that we read every morning for Aminu? Now, our Mishnah seems to be saying that by doing one mitzvah, metiv in lo, in Olam Hazeh, because Nechel HaTzaretz means in Olam Haba. But the Mishnah in Peah says that there are only the following mitzvahs. Of course, we have the different gersos and so on. So we're going to see, it's a little, this is the Mishnah itself, as opposed to what we usually quote, where we start talking about Akhnasat Orchim and stuff like that. But the Mishnah itself mentions that things that you can have a peres in this world, which would be the Metivim love, and Neuchel HaSaretz, that's not Karen Kayemet Olam Haba, are only the following. Elohim, Kibud Avaim, Gemilut Chasadim, Hachlasat Orchim, Hava'at Shalom, Bein Adam L'Chaviro, Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam, and that means we've got five mitzvahs, and only five mitzvahs, and L'maisa, even Hachlasat Orchim, is not quite clear that that's the Gersin Peah, but It's certainly not any mitzvah. The Mishnah says any mitzvah. You do one mitzvah, and this all ought to come true. So how do we explain that the Mishnah Peah is a complete stira? Omer of Yehuda, what our Mishnah is referring to is not the schus of one mitzvah, any mitzvah. It's talking about the additional single mitzvah. So what it's talking about over here is the din on a benoni. It's not talking about how the mitzvah is mezaki. It's saying there are two different issues. We have an issue about the way that a mitzvah gives an individual his nachala. Then there's a question, who is this individual? Is this individual someone who is meant to be zeicha through his life, l'teiva? And that would be that he's mostly, when we say mostly, obviously it doesn't mean in numbers, but that in terms of the totality of his life, he can be judged with this one additional element. Everything else was just right smack bang in the middle. He's just mediocre. He's a guy that's always in the middle, going up and down all the time. But there's one mitzvah, any mitzvah, that was yeter al zechuyotav. And that makes his entire life, it outnumbers all of the other things in his life by pushing the scale over. That person is made even low. That person gets schar in Olam Hazeh, and it looks as if he is given so much wonder in his life that people could think he was Mekayim every single mitzvah there is in the world. Wait a minute. So what are you saying? So then what about the special mitzvahs over there in Peah? So you're saying those mitzvahs all on their own? Even if the guy's a Rosh HaGomer, you're telling me that here we've got this total Russia, and he's Oved Avodah Zarah his whole life, and he's a murderer, but he's Mechabed Avi V'Imai. So for that one mitzvah, so then the fact that everything in his life is evil makes no difference? That's insane. So then Bechlal B'Hanach, the other mitzvahs that we talk about, the five or the four that we have in the Mishnah, so then Afilo B'Chod Anami? How could it be? I mean, the person's entire life is evil. Omer of Shemaiah, no. What Rav Yehuda is referring to is Lomar. That if you have a person who doesn't have a mitzvah that is machriya lekavskos, who doesn't have that additional one thing in his life that goes beyond his normal mediocrity and pushes him over the middle. He doesn't. He's basically in the middle. But within those mitzvahs that he has done in his life, is one of those, one of the five things we just listed here from Peah, then that itself without an additional mitzvah, that pushes his tzad, his scale over, and he's zorcha to both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. But if he didn't do those, any of those mitzvahs that are listed in the mitzvah of Peah, so then he would need a mitzvah that overpowers the things that had kept him in the middle, and that pushes his life over the edge, and that are machriya the kaf. That's the difference. So the only difference is between the Mishnah and Peah and our Mishnah, the way that Rav Yehuda is now explaining it, at least the way we're understanding Rav Yehuda, is that we're talking about the overall effect of a life, and the impact of one mitzvah on a life, and that mitzvah, any mitzvah, as our Mishnah says, can actually be the tipping point in which an entire life is transformed from mediocrity to wonder, or if it includes any of the mitzvahs in Peah, even if it's not the tipping point, that itself, the fact that it's those mitzvahs, it had kibud av v'eim in it, or so on, then that itself creates a tipping point. Yes, the Gemara, is that true? You're telling me that all you have to do is get beyond that tipping point? And kol ha'oseh mitzvah achat yeter al zechuyotav meitivim lo. You're going to tell me that a person like that has good in Olam Hazeh? Because remember, Meitivim Lo, we're contrasting with V'Noichel HaZaharet. So then Meitivim Lo means Be'Olam Hazeh. So then how do you explain this Braita? Kol Zechuyotav Merubim Mi'Avonotav. Anybody who is a tipping point to good, he lives a hell of a life. He is given an awful life. Meri'in Lo. He gets bad things in this world. And people looking at the pain that he goes through will think, oh my God, this guy is worse than Hitler. Dome Kamisha Saraf Kola Torah Kula Velo Shira Mimena Filo Otachat. I mean, this is what should have happened to a person who was over on everything in the Torah, and he didn't even leave a single letter in the whole Torah that he didn't destroy. Why does that happen? Because we want him to be Noichel HaSa'aretz in Olam Haba. So therefore, instead of his losing anything from Olam Haba or being tortured in hell, we want to give him a wonderful time in a real life. So you have these short, you know, Yerusha Yeshiva years over here, which are over before they start. So, okay, so he looks like he's having a horrible time in this world. And on the other hand, somebody who's really evil and has tipped over into the evil side, so then he has a wonderful life. Metivimlo. People say, wow, this guy is like living the life of Riley, you know. It must be that he was a tzaddik gomer. He was mekayim every mitzvah. He didn't leave out even a single diyuk that he wasn't mekayim. Anyway, this sure doesn't sound like the way we just explained our Mishnah, that the guy's going to have betivelo and olam hazeh and so on. This says we give him a hell of a life. So, and this is totally the opposite of what Reb Yehuda says. I'm going to buy you a look. There's a number of approaches here. Well, we could say that our Mishnah, when it says that he is metivelo, maybe what it means is that all of that suffering is preparing, using his whole life to prepare a wonderful Yom Tov for him. That's the pshat. So, davdinen le Yom Tov. He uses his whole life to prepare that grand holiday. And the opposite, when somebody has more avonot, so then it means that Yom Bish, we prepare him for a bad day. Same even low, but rather we give him a wonderful life so that he's well ready for a wonderful life of moaning in hell. So, okay, that would be one approach, right? That would work out from one part. Okay, that's one approach. That's basically Rashi's approach. Rabbi Yertosfer says that he has a lot of kashas on this, as he shows. And that what it means is that Navdilin Yom Tov and Yom Bish does not mean that we're coming to define his entire life. It means a person who is very evil obviously has times in which things are great for him. I mean, and a person who was very wonderful and was a big tzaddik obviously has bad times. There's always Yamim Ra'im, but it doesn't mean that his entire life is that way. Most of the time, a person who's a tzaddik will have bracha v'shalom and so on. And a person who's a rasha, although certainly he can have like grand times, and then there are these horrible times that happen to him. Okay, so that's what it means. Yom Tov means that there's days of good in the life, and that is true. Even an Adam rasha is still going to get these good times for his reward for his mitzvahs, and a tzaddik is going to have mostly good times, but there'll be Yom HaBish in order to be able to be misakin him. But however we learn, the point over here is that there's a totally different relationship of schar va'onesh to a tzaddik and a rasha. So someone whose choice in life has been to actually desire life with a capital L. So that person's main schar, the focus is to be zeiche to real life in Olam Haba. And whatever, as the Rambam explains, whatever is given to him in Olam Hazeh that actually will enhance his preparations for that life and give him a life now in which he's able to do mitzvahs and to learn and to be aware and to daven and not to have to worry all the time and be involved in emptiness all the time. So that's all part of the same bracha. And that's why, says the Rambam, all of the britot are purely in terms of Olam Hazeh. Not because Olam Hazeh is the sofa zachar, is his language. This is not the entirety of what life is about. But because ultimately, this is what provides everything for you. And therefore, what it means is, overall, no matter what pshat we take, the person who doesn't have that sense of life, so then the things that he has and the things that he celebrates are things that don't really mean all that much because they're here today and gone tomorrow. But if winning the lottery and being up there, you know, in the top of the stock market means a lot to him, And if it's so important for him that he has to drive a Mercedes or a Lancia, whatever, fine, okay, he can have that. I mean, but that's all toys, essentially. But those differences are fundamental differences between the overall getter of Tzaddik and the overall getter of Rosh. And that's defined by the din of Rov Ma'asav and so on, as the Gemara just said. Rava says there's really no kasha. There's a big machlokas about this. The Braita that says that he's going to have a hell of a life, that would be referring to Rabbi Yaakov Shita. See, our Mishnah says that by doing a mitzvah, that mitzvah impacts your Olam Hazeh. But Rabbi Yaakov says, no, there's no such thing. There is no way that a brief life in Olam Hazeh could possibly address any sechar of a mitzvah. It's ridiculous. I mean, a mitzvah is something that is real and that is ultimate. And you're going to give sechar for a mitzvah by giving a guy a Lancia to throw out at the end of 20 years? I mean, what? It's ridiculous. What does that have to do with a mitzvah? So toys have nothing to do with mitzvahs. And therefore, sechar mitzvah by Amalek. A mitzvah is not going to impact anything in this world in terms of reward. It's not possible. The Tanya Rabbi Yaakov Omer. If you take a look at every place in the Torah where the Torah talks about reward. The Torah never talks about reward, really, right? There's only a few places. You know, Laman Yarichun Yamecha. I don't wish we have Shiluach HaKein. We have Kibud Avaim. But the idea that a mitzvah has a reward attached to it, the Torah never talks about that because that's like prostituting mitzvahs. That do the mitzvahs so that you... I mean, that's ridiculous. So therefore, the Torah doesn't want us to be trained seals that are doing mitzvahs to get our little piece of Livyosan, as I always say, right? That's not whoop, whoop, okay. So because of that, there is no such thing. But when you look at the mitzvahs, you see that clearly the mitzvah is talking about a totally different life that transcends life in this world. And therefore, they define by their very existence the fact that there's got to be a real world beyond this. She'in t'chiyat ha'mitim t'luyaba. By reading that mitzvah, you're going to understand that there's got to be another life. And therefore, there's no contradiction. So the Mishnah is not following Rabbi Yaakov, and the Braita was. And I'll show you, says Rabbi Yaakov. Take a look at Kibud Av V'Em. So what does it say over there? You should honor your parents. Laman yarichun yamecha ulaman yitavlach. So that you'll have a long life and a good life. And by Shiluach HaKein, what does it say? Also, same thing. Send away that mama birdie. Laman yitavlach, so that things will be good for you and you'll have a long life. Okay, so now let me ask you a case like this, all right? A guy has got this garage, you know, with a second story where he stores everything over the garage. Daddy says to him, listen, I'd like some fresh birdies up there because all the birds roost, you know, on top of the garage. So climb up to the top of the garage and bring me down some gozalot, you know, so I can have those, forgot what they're called in English, the young chicken, forgot what they call them. Anyway, the guy climbs up. So the kid climbs up, he's on top of the garage, he sees that there's a mother bird there, he sends away the mother bird, just like the mitzvah is. He takes the bonim to bring to his father, and he's on his way back down, he falls off the ladder, breaks his neck, and dies, okay? So now, how do you tell me this guy's going to have a long life? Man, he had a five-minute life. Where was his long life? And where was all the good things that were promised him? So therefore, when it says, l'man yitavlach, it means real good. For an olam shekulo tov, l'man yarichun yamecha, means l'olam shekulo aroch, a world that is entirely long. By the way, there are these beautiful diyukim I forgot by the Bali Musa. What is the meaning of la'olam shekulo aroch? What do you mean kulo aroch? It's aroch. We're talking about time. That could be kulo aroch. So it's beautiful. I think it might be Revolbo who said this shot. Kulo aroch means that when we talk about extensions of time in terms of olam hazeh, all we mean is that there's this concept of the dimension of time within which many other things can happen, right? So this time is just so that all things should happen at once. Okay, oh, the only thing that we mean when we say it's long is that it hasn't come to an end. But if you're talking about an olam that is kulay arach, then it means that all things are ultimately extended in what we consider to be time. It's not as if there's an event So now you have an ice cream cone. Now you can remember the delicious ice cream, right? But, I mean, the pleasure of the ice cream comes to an end within even a world that would go on forever, right? No, but in Olam Haba, the entirety of the experience of life is endless. So then that means that that ice cream cone is always there. That's beautiful, Dirk, right? Okay. So I have a surprise for Barnea this morning, and even a special message. See? That's meant for you, Barnea. Okay.
Rebbe Dean's an Olam Haba, Rebbe will only have to take one drink and it will just be there. You won't have to be good.
Exactly. That's why I figured I'll make that one with love.
Right. It was Shmuel's mother's coat.
Mamish, exactly. Beautiful. Anyway, that's my proof. Says the Gemara, yeah, that's a brilliant proof. If you can video an event like that, you know, you can ask, well, what are you talking about? And what if not? Where do you get the idea that a guy whose father sends him up to the top of the garage falls off of the ladder and breaks his back? I mean, who's to say such a thing will happen? You're asking Akasha because, well, it must happen. Well, that's pretty cynical. You know, maybe it would never happen. Dimalav Ochiavi, what makes you say such a thing? Maybe it's magic and such a thing would never happen. No, you see, Rabbi Yaakov saw it happen. So he knows that these kind of things happen. Remember, this was the story with Elisha Acher as well, who was actually the grandfather of Rabbi Yaakov, which is fascinating. This family has definitely got a problem with these serious incidents, right? So he saw this advice that took place. Okay, but maybe at that moment, the child wasn't thinking about doing a mitzvah. He was thinking about doing an avera. And so the mitzvah wasn't able to protect him, you know. It could be. Normally it would have. He wasn't thinking about a mitzvah. No, come on. So what? It's ridiculous that b'shah that he's doing the mitzvah, that is supposed to guarantee him a long life, that's when he would be punished? That doesn't make sense. Machshava ra'ah ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzarfa l'maaseh. Just for thinking. So because of that, he's going to be punished like that. Oh, well, now wait a minute. Maybe he was thinking about doing Avodah Zorah. So Dilma Mehar Herba Avodat Kochavim Ave. And there it says, Leman Tfoset Beit Yisrael Bili Bam, it says in Yechezkel. That they were caught, so to speak. Tfos, they were caught in their hearts because of thinking of Avodah Zorah. Because even thinking about Avodah Zorah is kivayachol doicha v'shchina. Well, that's the point. Rabbi Yaakov took that into consideration. He's saying, look, if you believe that when it says, it talks about schar mitzvah, it means there's a schar mitzvah even in this world. Schar mitzvah, b'hai alma. So don't you think that the mitzvah should have at least protected him, that he wouldn't have come to such a matzav to be mahar in Avodah Zorah at that time in the mitzvah that's going to give him a long life, and that's when he's mahar, and that's when it is that he is ends up being punished for his machshavas of Avodah Zorah. That doesn't make sense, if you take it literally. So therefore, that shows itself. The fact that such things happen shows that the inyan of the mitzvah is not the impact that is going to give to you in Olam Hazeh. But wait a second. You're telling me that Rabbi Yaakov saw that somebody went up to do a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em and he was killed? But don't we say Shluchei Mitzvah Ein Nizokin? Somebody is doing something for a mitzvah. He's climbing up a ladder and it's for the sake of a mitzvah. He's not going to fall off of that ladder. So what happened with that? Forget about the question of Schar Mitzvah. There's the issue of Shluchei Mitzvah. Somebody who's working, he's doing now a shlichut. So how did that happen? Ah, but that's only on his way to do the mitzvah. But over here, he had finished the mitzvah. So apparently, he had already dropped those gozalot down to his father. So he was on his way back. So Reb Elazar said that shluchei mitzvah ain't a nizokin at all. Lo b'halichatan v'lo b'chaziratan. Whether they're on their way out or on their way back, it makes no difference. There should not have been such an event at all. Something doesn't add up. Yeah, well, you didn't see the ladder that guy was climbing on. I mean, this is one of those kind of crazy ladders that only nuts climb. You know, you put in a nail over there, it's falling apart over here. And so he went ahead and he wants to use this disgusting, ridiculous, dangerous ladder. Then there's no protection. You know, it's different. Sulam ru'ahava was a poor quality ladder, tekviya hezeka, and therefore it was very dangerous, and it's a reasonable thing that you have to protect yourself from that ladder. And kol echa tekviya hezeka, whenever the danger is present in front of you, you don't have a right to rely on a miracle. Well, I don't have to worry because I'm going ahead and doing a mitzvah. That's lo sabchinan anisa, dechtiv, and we see that very clearly in the Torah. Because there's an incredible story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself tells Shmuel, go and find my new king and pour the oil over him and so on. Right? So you can imagine that Shmuel says, well, how can I do that? It's dangerous. What if Shaul hears about it and he'll kill me? Hey, man, I'm God. I told you to go do it. I mean, you can rely on me, can't you? Says Shmuel, no, I can't rely on you. It's no different than any other mitzvah. I don't understand. A mitzvah in the Torah is different than God comes and says in your ear, go do it. That's what a mitzvah is. So if the din is that you're not samchinan al anes, so then you have to ask, okay, so how should I do this? Because I'm not allowed to be samchinan al anes, so just because you're God doesn't mean I can trust you. So is that an amazing story? Why? So it's interesting. Again, like the Hasidic element over here is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to wait for Shmuel to ask him. I mean, if this was part of the mitzvah, so then why didn't he tell Shmuel up front? You know, pretend that he gives him a tzolaitza, you know, pretend that you're going to be makri, whatever. Why didn't he tell him that up front? So Shad is like this. The reality is that Shmuel would never even have thought about that as being kviya hezeka. Nah, man, I'm going to worry about Shaul. But that's because you're being Isaac in a mitzvah with all of your heart and all of your soul. The problem is that Shmuel was not being Isaac in this mitzvah with all of his heart and all of his soul. He was miserable about this mitzvah because he did not want to replace Shaul. He was crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't do this. And Afalpi came. He had to go and do it. So when a person goes ahead and does a mitzvah in tears, then he better make sure that he's not going to get into trouble if it's kviya hezeka. Very sweet. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for Shmuel to say, okay, but, you know, I'm not really into this, so how do I know I'm not going to get killed? So that's the pshat. Eichelech v'shamasho uvaraguni. Okay, so then that means Aliba de Rabbi Yaakov, Laman Yitavloch means specifically in Olam Haba. And the fact that he saw this would not only bother him, it would open his eyes to the entire meaning of Tzchar Mitzvahs. Rav Yosef, it's such a shame. Because if only grandpa, who was Elisha ben Avuya, that unfortunately became known as Acher because of the way that he was Yotzei L'Tar B'Zroa, based on exactly seeing this. If he had only understood the Pasuk like his grandson, Rebbe Yaakov, who was a son of his daughter, he never would have come to that matzav. He wouldn't have been Chayte. And he saw this, and that's what happened. And what happened to Acher? So, hi, Acher may have it. So, he could have. Some say that he saw exactly this mindset. Ki hai gavna chaza. And he decided there must be there's no schar, and that he was working for nothing. V'ikad amri. Others say, and this is where Gavi is heading to, I assume today, that he saw the tongue of Chutzpis HaMeturgeman. So Chutzpis HaMeturgeman spent his life speaking the most beautiful words of Torah, being metargem, the shiurim of all the gedolei olam, so that everybody would understand them. And he saw that the Romans had ripped out the tongue of Chutzpis HaMeturgeman, threw it out, and a pig was dragging the tongue of Chutzpis HaMeturgeman. Avigor ledover Acher. So Acher said, that's insane. Apesh afik margoliot yilachei chafar. How's such a thing possible? That the very tongue that spoke these pearls and diamonds, this is what should happen to it. So at that point, he threw out everything. Nofak chota. Rami Rav Tivi Bar Kisan L'Rav. Wait a minute. We've got a problem with the Mishnah because it says kol ha'osa mitzvah achat mitivim osa in lo asa lo. So it's only if he actually did the mitzvah. If he didn't do the mitzvah, then we would not give him the sechar. What about the Braita? The Braita says that if Yashav v'lo avar avira, if somebody passively doesn't do an avera, that is a mitzvah. And yesh lo sechar, notim lo sechar, ka ose mitzvah. So why does it say only if he does a mitzvah? Ah, said Rav Tam, that's different. That's somebody who was faced with a terrible nisoyon to do an avera and was saved by the profound battle that he had with his yetzer hara. There, of course, that's a mitzvah. What bigger mitzvah is there than to assert control over the yetzer hara and vanquish Ra, like the Maisa with Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa? Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa was a choshev man, was always being exposed to these government influences, and as you know, just like today, you have these Washington women, you have these Roman, supposedly noble women that are always interested in seducing everybody. And so Tevati Ahimatronisa, there was this beautiful Roman woman who was seducing him to sleep with her. And the problem is, these are very powerful people. I mean, if you turn aside their advances, I mean, you think poor Jeffrey Epstein had a problem. I mean, this is, they'll murder you. They won't just murder you in court. So therefore, he was in a terrible state. So he wanted to turn her off of him. So he said a tefillah, he said a shame. In other places, Rashi says was a shame, shame Hashem. And he became covered with these horrible sores all over his body and pus. And he looked like a piece of garbage that nobody would want to seduce. But she also... she knew how to do all of this Harry Potter stuff. So she also did something, and she cured him. I think her name was Pomfrey or something like that. Anyway, so she cured him. And so he sees, uh-oh, he's in big trouble. So what did he do? So he goes and he runs away to this bath that was so dangerous because it was completely inhabited by Mazikim. And it was so dangerous that even if two people would go in together, and it was in the middle of the day, normally we say, you don't have to worry about any kind of demons in the middle of the day, or if you have two people together, you don't have to. Here, even if two people go in the middle of the day, afilo biyamama, they would be attacked. He didn't care. He went right in there. So she didn't know where he was. The next day, the Rabbanan asked him, how'd you get out of there alive? Who watched over you? Man Natrach, Amar Lahu, he said to them, look, there were these two Nose Kesa, there were these two knights, you know, they were sitting over there in their armor and everything, and they surrounded me. And any time one of these monsters tried to attack me, they took care of me. These apparently were the Malach of Yitzhavalach, and they were there the whole night. Shomruni Kol Laila. They said to him, that's not reasonable, unless maybe you were in a matzav where you were drawn to a Dvar Ereva and you were saved, v'nitzalta imena, because it says in a Braita, kol abad Dvar Ereva liyado v'nitzala imena, somebody who's in a tough situation and it's barely possible for him to get away from some kind of sexual attraction and he's saved from it, o simulones. He deserves a miracle. And in fact, as it says, Gibore Koach, Osei Devaro Lishmoa Bekol Devaro. Who are the strong, the Nosei Kesar, basically? Who are the Gibore Koach? Who are the knights to do the Ratzon of Hashem? That's like Rabbi Tzedek. Rabbi Tzedek and people like Rabbi Tzedek. So Rabbi Tzedek had this situation where he also was in a state where there was this woman that was a powerful woman in the government, and she was trying to seduce him. And he says to her, listen, I got to tell you something. I haven't had anything to eat all day. I mean, I can't even think about sex, man. I'm like starving. You have anything good to eat? So she says, well, I got myself some bacon. You want some bacon? We can make you some bacon and eggs. So he says, what the hell? My nafkamina. Somebody's going to go screwing around with a woman like you. Might as well eat bacon and eggs. So if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. So he took this to heart, that this is where he's at, you know, that this is like his life is open in front of him. This is the kind of life. So he says, okay, That means the Ovid Ha'okola, if you want to have this type of sex, then you can have this type of food. So she turns on her oven, she puts in the bacon to warm it up, and Reb Tzadok climbs up into the oven and sits down in the oven. So she says, what? Are you insane? He says, she says, my high. He says, look, basically, if I'm going to do this, then I'm going to end up in the oven of Gehenna anyway. So I may as well get used to it, you know? So she said to him, you know, if I would have known that this makes this kind of difference to you, I never would have bothered you like this. I thought that, you know, okay, yeah. It's like I told you, it's amazing the way that Goyim look at these religious issues, you know? So my kids are tramping through, tramping through Scotland. It's pouring the entire week. It hasn't let up. Ice cold, pouring. These poor bedraggled kids, they come down into a town, and you know what they used to have there, they still do, is you go into a pub, and they have a pot of boiling soup, and they give out the soup for free, you order yourself a Guinness, you have a delicious stew, potatoes, meat, anyway, so they come in.
Baggies.
What? Yeah, exactly. So they buy, so do you have a bag of chips? So, people say, well, you're crazy. Look at you. Take a bowl of soup. You know, well, we can't. We only eat kosher. Okay, so for one night, you won't eat kosher. Tomorrow, you'll eat kosher. Understand? What's like, you have to eat kosher all the time. Understand? So you're a vegan. Okay, but one night to save your life, you can't eat a little bit of meat. Could not imagine what that would mean, right? She says, if I had realized what this means to you, so then I wouldn't have bothered you. I mean, even I have mercy, you know. And Rav Kahana, he used to go around selling these pretty little baskets, so he had to sell to women. So this woman sees him, and she wants him. So he says to her, okay, I need to go and take a shower, you know, get ready. So he goes up to the roof, and he jumps off of the roof. Anyway, Elio comes and catches him just as he's about to land and be smashed to smithereens. So Elio Hanavi comes and catches him. So Elio shouts at him, do you think I could spend my time catching suicides? Will you please get out of here, man? I had to travel for 400 parsaot to save some meshuganeh from a suicide. A chutzpah. So Rav Kahana said to him, look, the only reason that I'm in this mess is because I don't have a penny to live on. So I have to go around selling these women these pretty baskets. For heaven's sakes, come to the help of a person who deserves better, darn it. It's the Aniusa. All right, said Elio. He takes out a safe full of golden coins and says, here, live off of this. I got no time for this. All righty, gentlemen. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, so Kol Ha'osa Mitzvah Achas could even include the being nimna from an avera in which you're being terribly pressured and your life is endangered, and Av Al Pi Kein, he's saved from it. Wonderful, Rabbi Ozai.
Stories of Rabbi Tzadok and eating. Rabbi Tzadok fasting, and then, you know, he has to heal. Rabbi Tzadok in the sukkah demonstrating eating in and out of the sukkah. And now here, on this Soyin that has to do with eating, it could be that they're all related.
Okay, we will wait for Barnea's profound insight tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, in Rabbi Tzadok. Halavai shenizkeh. Everyone, thank you so much. May we be zeicha tischar in Olam Hazeh, in Olam Haba, nachala olomis, the trias habesim, and yuma tava, both Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba, with all of the shitas together, to be neichel es ha'aretz. With the right relationship, we get the right mitzvahs.